from Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shankshatra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, good morning, Roo, on this Monday morning. Did you have a quiet, uneventful weekend? How'd it go?
No, I had a normal weekend in our life. There's normal. Always stuff happening, Dits. There's footy, there's kids, there's everything in between, normal family stuff.
I've heard the odd whisper coming out of your house. We'll get to this later on. I don't think it was all that uneventful, to
Didn't
be honest.
Didn't quite go smooth, put it that way. A lot of fun, a few laughs.
Yeah.
I
drove past your place this morning and there was all that police tape around. It was cordoned off crime scene. There's been a death.
No,
we'll get to this later on. There's been a death at the Ricciuto household.
You know the worst thing, Dits?
What?
Comes in threes, doesn't it, I reckon? We're just trying to work out what's next.
All right, so we'll delve into that later on. Roo, what a weekend of football. Watching the live ladder yesterday. 1 minute West Coast are in, then they're out, then they're in. It was just amazing. It was just incredible. What a finish to what has been an incredible season.
Cannot remember anything even remotely like it. Usually the last weekend can be a bit dead, but went right down to the final minutes yesterday. We'll cover the footy, obviously, because so much to talk about. A week off this week, but Thursday week will come around very, very quickly.
What are you going to do next weekend?
This weekend coming?
Yeah.
Good point. Might have a breather.
There's nothing to do.
I think we've got the quiz night on at Burnside Primary School.
Oh, right.
We'll just fire up
well,
for that.
Well, that won't involve you for long.
Yeah,
anyway.
We usually come last in that. So we might be able to study a bit more this week and get off the bottom.
Yeah. And hey, what about this breaking news out of Melbourne? Roberta Williams wants to take on Bill Shorten in his seat. She is going into federal politics. Can you believe this?
What's her party going to be called? Gangster's Party.
It'd be bleeped out, won't it? Whatever.
Yeah. Wait and see. Looking forward to that one.
All right, plenty to talk about this morning. It is 5 degrees outside, only a top of 13 today. It's not going to be that good today in Adelaide. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
609, Roo and Dits here on Triple M, thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Roo, we're talking about a home in Melbourne, Range Rover Sport in the driveway, and $1 million cash.
Sounds like a good
deal.
I reckon anyone could handle that.
It'd
be very handy.
Hospital Research Home Lottery.
Million in cash, a bloody nice home, and a rangey to cruise around in. Well, where do we buy the tickets?
Homelottery.com.au.
Beautiful.
There you go. All proceeds, which is great, as you know, go to our hospitals and finding cures.
You sort of can't lose, can you?
No, it's a win-win. Hey, Roo, what's making news around the place now? Something that I think we've known all our lives, but it's been confirmed by a university in Northern England, that swearing gets rid of pain. So they,
better than Panadol.
They did a test and, when you're in a bit of pain, they say, oh, take some Panadol or whatever. Just yell and scream expletives, obscenities, and apparently you feel a whole lot better.
Absolutely.
So when you stub your toe, no good going, oh, darn. Like, really let rip, and it'll feel better.
Oh, we've all been doing that for years, haven't we?
A university study has confirmed this.
Yeah, you got to let the anger out.
Yeah.
And, give it to her. Really stuck into it.
For all the kids that are listening, just swear your head off, and when mum says, hey, don't use that language, say Ruined It said that.
We'll let you off for that one.
Yeah.
We'll take your hit for your little kiddies out there.
Apparently it's what you need to do when
you're
in pain.
And I think most parents would let you off for that one.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Just say, kids, a university in the north of England, they did a study on it and that's what happened.
And Dits said, we were allowed to do it on Triple M.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. And that goes for adults out there as well.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the footy, Dits, and we'll cover it throughout the show. But an amazing weekend where Melbourne have been rolled for the finals.
0.5%.
Yeah, hardly anything. Couple of goals and over 22 rounds. Yeah. So they'll be kicking themselves. West Coast to be wrapped. Port didn't quite get the top four with Richmond winning yesterday. So Port now play against West Coast Eagles in Adelaide Saturday nearly a fortnight away, Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. So that is obviously an elimination final for them, but they get the home ground advantage. It's probably a 50-50 game, Dits, that one?
Yeah. You'd say so. Gee, West Coast, I know, you know, look, yesterday, hard to read anything into it. West Coast had the world to play for, so they had the foot on the pedal, went a million miles an hour. But I've got to say, gee, they've got a good lineup. You know, there are big names all the way through their team.
Yep.
They,
they're very beatable, though, Dits. You're a big chance of beating them, especially if you win the ball. They've got a couple of slow blokes in their midfield. If they get it, they don't look slow.
Yep.
If they don't get it, and they're chasing, then you boys will run away from them.
So you got to hope Paddy Ryder gives our fellas first use, don't you?
Yep, absolutely.
Now, Roo, are you getting GWS at the right time? Are they off the boil at the moment?
I don't think they've really been on the boil all year. I'm confident the Crows can beat GWS. And looking forward to the challenge. 10 days away, they've got to come back from Perth. They've got to get Tex right. They've got to get Tali right. They've got to get their head right. They get all that right, and I think they'll knock off.
So you're not worried about anything you saw yesterday?
No, not really. I mean, I would have preferred them to play a bit better. I didn't like, they missed so many targets in that yesterday. But when you wake up yesterday, when you're a player and you've got nothing to play for, and you've got finals coming up in a couple of weeks, and you don't want to get injured, you probably go into that game at 95%, and that difference between 95 and 100 is probably 10 goals.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving them a let off. I just know that that's the way it works in your head. And I wasn't surprised that they lost. And it's a tricky situation for the Crows to be in yesterday and for the whole week preparing for it, to be honest. So I think judgment for the Crows is how they play Thursday week. Then you can say, oh, no, we saw it coming, or, oh, yeah, they've been playing ordinary for 2 weeks. You can roll out all those negative thoughts then, but until you see how they play against GWS, I'd just wait and find out.
And, Roo, I don't know if my new favourite that I'm picking on now is the ruck infringements at the centre bounce when both ruckmen go up and you see a nice tap.
Just call play on.
And the umpire blows the whistle and says, straight arm. What the hell is that?
Just play on. Just play it. Unless you interfere with the other ruckman doing what they can do, call play on. Because no one likes a ruck infringement.
And the other one, if Cole Hardigan yesterday watches the tape again, I know he was shaking his head. He's gone back and affected the best spoil of the game. And
they got that wrong.
He gave away a free kick for spoiling.
Yeah, the umpies make a few mistakes there. They just, you know what? It'll probably be perfect in finals. Maybe in the grand final, they always get it right. Maybe in the ones.
It's been terrible all year.
What's happening at Marion?
Right. Well, this was only a matter of time, wasn't it? We've seen two councils in Victoria, in Melbourne, vote to change Australia Day. And now Marion Council's the first here in South Australia to jump on
board. Are they really?
They're putting it to the vote. So they want Australia Day changed as well.
They're a bit progressive at Marion, aren't they?
They are.
Are they the ones that put the flag up for, you know? Okay.
So it's going to happen, is it? It's going to gain momentum.
You know what it's going to do? Take the gloss off one of the greatest days of the year until we decide to go one way or the other, or continue taking gloss off it forever. Instead of celebrating Australia Day, we're going to fight about it.
So does someone at a higher level then need to just nip this in the bud now? Rather than go council by council, having a vote all around Australia, and we keep debating and talking about it.
Should they get the say in it, the councils?
They're doing it. So that's what I'm saying. Does someone higher up, does Malcolm Turnbull need to come in now and say, right, this is the decision?
Yes.
Otherwise,
we need some leadership.
Every week.
It would be a farce every
year.
We're
talking about a different council every week,
right? Should be the greatest days of the year. Greatest day of the year.
That's what's making news around the place. 6:15, it's Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, I just want to refresh everyone's memory. Let's go back to a terrible thing that happened last week.
We've got a dog called Nelly, or we had a dog called Nelly.
We had
a dog called Nelly, and fair to say, it's well past its best.
Right.
And anyway, so Sarah's had a dog for ages, the whole time I've met her, and I'd sort of said to her last few months that might be time to go take Nelly up to Wakery and, you know, not come back sort of thing. I said, go and see a vet and see what it would cost to do there, because she wouldn't let sort of me do it. I'm in the list management meeting, right? Sitting around with everyone talking about all this stuff. And I see my phone ring with Sarah, and I've gone, oh, no, this is, you know, she's Nelly's gone. Sarah, and she's bawling. I've just put her down and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, that's all right. She's gone to a better place you know, all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And I said, where is it at the vet? And she goes, no, it's sitting on my lap.
Oh, what?
I said, I'll bury it on the weekend. And she goes, no, you can't bury it on the weekend. You got to, you know, you have to do it tonight. I said, no, just put it in the freezer. That's what they do with bodies and stuff like that. And and she said, you got to do it tonight. Anyway, so I've got home. Now Nellie's dug in a hole in the new family home and we'll live happily ever after.
So you know what's terrible about this is you're happy as Larry.
I'm not happy.
You are. Listen to you. Oh, gee whiz. I've never seen a bloke laugh so much.
Anyway, Nellie's gone.
Oh, listen, Roo, don't take it so bad. No, you'll be right. Cheer up. Oh, gee whiz.
Oh. No, I'm sad as well.
Oh, I can tell. Yeah, shattered. You're still laughing.
I'm not. I'm laughing.
That was last week.
It's sort of nervous laughing.
It was a therapeutic.
You know what I mean.
Two things I forgot to ask you at the time. So you're happy to put it in the freezer, what, next to tomorrow night's dinner or something? Hey? That's one question I've got for you. You can't put it in your freezer.
Well, it's better than letting it sit out in the sun.
All right. And the other thing, what was going to happen at Wakery when you actually took it up there?
Take it for a little walk.
And?
Bump. Oh. That's what they do in the country, dear. You don't take it to a bloody vet and pay hundreds of dollars.
Oh, anyway.
Ask Triple M's farmer, Tim Vince, how, a dog finishes its life in the country.
I don't want to know. I don't want to ask.
Well, it's all painless and that's the way you do it.
So the dog has an accident, does it?
Well, sort of.
Oh, anyway, let's move on. So what's happened?
So I was in Melbourne last Thursday night doing the front bar, as you know, and... I had to fly back Friday after doing the brekkie show from Melbourne, and I get on the plane. I'm sitting on the plane. I said, Sarah's ringing. I go, oh, God, I can't answer this. We're just about to take off. I just bumped her and said, on the plane. Mm. She texts back, Blue, the cat's dead.
Oh, no.
And I've gone,
This
is the cat that I bought Sarah so she didn't have to have a seventh kid.
Right.
So it's got a bit of meaning, this cat, and we paid $1,000 for it.
Let's get to the real problem. Right. You paid $1,000.
And I sort of fell in love with this little cat. It's got a bit of character, so is my old man. He's devastated, and a few of my mates actually liked it. Mm. And anyway.
So what happened?
So I said, she was crying again on the, when she's texting, and she's upset. So I said, just do, I'll sort it out when I get back. So
put it in the freezer.
It was at the vet when it died.
Okay.
So it was on Thursday. Its back legs weren't working when I was in Melbourne, and just something weird was going on. She took it to the vet, and anyway, they had it on. They're scoping it all out and trying to find out what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. They've done all these tests, X-rays everywhere. Mm. Just trying to find out everything, and then before she rang me Friday, they had it actually on like a life support system. This is true.
Get out.
No, I'm not joking.
Life support.
At the Burnside vet.
Oh, right. Burnside vet. Right. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, righto. Yeah, okay.
So it's had x-rays.
So it's had x-rays. It's been on life support. The vet's ringing Sarah. What do we do? Sarah said, you're going to have to do whatever you think. And the vet said, we can give it a little injection and put it out of its misery. So Sarah says, do what you got to do. Mm. So I've had to go down. So they've put it away. Mm-hmm. And I've had to go down and pick it up, and you get it in a little bag and you can feel the bloody body in there. It's a bit weird. But then I have a little debrief with the vet because I want to get to the bottom of this.
The same bag that you used for Nellie.
No, we buried the other one.
It's, in the bag.
Yeah, you don't just tip it in the dirt.
Righto.
So anyway, I'm having a one-on-one with the vet, and it's... It had an enlarged heart. It was a genetic issue. It was only a matter of time. Enlarged heart.
So it's like Farlap.
Exactly.
Could have won a Melbourne Cup.
Could have won anything cats can win. Mm. And went through everything. I said, I want you to write a letter because I'm going to ring the buddy breeder. Don't worry about that. The breeder doesn't know that's coming yet. So get all the information about it. Go home, take the cat. Rocco wanted to hold the cat on the way home, so Rocco's got the dead cat in his lap on the way back from the bed. He's a little 3-year-old boy. Oh. Got the father-in-law in the passenger seat. He's from the old school.
Yeah.
So he's going, bloody pets, they cost you a fortune. Don't give him another one. So we get home anyway. Then the kids come home from school.
Mm.
We've had to tell the kids.
Oh.
And they're still grieving from Nellie.
Oh.
And kids, the cat's dead. Blue's dead. And you just watch one of them go down, and then the next one goes down. They're bawling and crying, and everyone's crying. Sarah started crying, and then Sarah passed me the vet bill, and I had a look at that. Then I started crying, and we're all crying. $1,300 I got charged to put the bloody cat down.
Take it to Wakery next time.
$1,300 to put the bloody cat. So it's cost me $2,500. So we've lost a cat.
Now, Roo.
We've lost a dog.
You only shifted house, what, 2 weeks ago?
I know. There's something going on.
This is like the Amityville Horror. What's wrong with this house?
Well, you know, everyone knows it goes in threes. So I've said to Mick. You got to be careful, Mick.
Sleep with one eye open.
There's old man. So
I don't know about this house, Roo.
No, I'm not a bit scared anyway. We've lost a cat and a dog and... We've buried them both, and it's been a sad time at our house.
Good luck moving forward.
Don't you come around, Ditch. No. You might be the next one.
Bloody haunted house.
Yeah, so anyway, we've lost a cat and a dog.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits. You're still laughing about your cat.
I just thought of a very, very good idea. I'll come back to you on it. I'm going legal.
Are you?
Yes.
How big? We're not talking QC, are we?
We're talking QC.
Peter Farris.
Roo and the cat v. the breeder.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to get Farris on.
Right, now, let's move on. Let's get to our Monday phone in on 133353. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, it's John Farnham.
Hello,
Farnsy.
How are you, Roo and Ditch, mate? Good. I sort of hear about your cat, Roo. Bad news, hang on there.
Right, what can we do for you, Farnsy?
No, mate, I just want to say, Roo, your career, Glenn said I should ring and just say, mate, what a great career you've had. And you've been great for the crowds to watch over the years. And we watched you yesterday, mate. And when you walked off the ground, Glenn and I, we sort of, our eyes were just, they watered up. And, mate, you're still a strong lad.
What are you talking about? Roo retired years ago.
What's that, mate?
Roo retired years ago.
10 years ago, no, 2007.
Glenn and I and the bride and Gaynor, we were watching him yesterday when he walked off.
No, that's wrong, Roo. No, that's Roo Revolt. Yeah,
I'm not actually sorry, mate. There shouldn't be another Roo.
Anyway, good to
see
you, mate.
Righto. All right. Thanks, Farnsy. Righto. Next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
It's Conor McGregor.
Hello, Conor. You sound bright and sprightly after your big fight yesterday.
I'm the UFC fighter. I was in the fight over in Vegas, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, I the good news is it feels better getting hurt. I don't mind getting hurt because it feels better when it quits hurting.
When what?
When it quits hurting.
Yeah, that's right. I don't mind getting hurt because then you get better.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You recover.
But you know what? What was he wearing that mask in for? I tell you why he was wearing that mask. Did you see the mask when he came in?
Yeah.
Do you know why he was wearing that?
Why?
Because he was robbing everyone that paid per view. You know. But I tell you what, I got the last laugh. I want to come back. I want to have another fight, you know. I didn't get to use my legs. If I'd used my legs, I'd have beaten him. And he didn't hurt me, you know. Right. I just got tired. I got the last laugh. Got tired, that's all.
Yeah.
I just got tired. Okay. But you know what?
What?
I tell you what, the thing is, I got the last laugh. You know why?
Why?
Because I've got 75 million reasons. And do you want to know what $75 million buys you in my country?
What?
Ireland.
Righto. Good luck. You can own the country.
Right, Connor.
Well done, Connor. Good effort yesterday.
Yeah, he did well. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's me.
Oh. Who's me?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Hello, Helen.
Did.
Morning, Helen.
I loved the fight yesterday.
Did you?
Watched it.
Right.
And Christopher, you have a very similar complexion to that Conor McGregor.
He does too. He's a bit white.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing that's missing is, you know, that, well, there's a lot of real estate there. If you got some tattoos, you could advertise your show and be like a walking billboard.
Right, okay. Yeah. I'll give that some thought.
I've come up with an idea which could change Adelaide and the fight scene. Because
right.
I love the fights.
Mm.
Why don't we get Mark Yu to have a fight at the Ramsgate, the rematch with Josh Carr?
Right. Yeah, that's been suggested.
And you could be there, Christopher, with the ring numbers being put up with your new tattoos.
Yeah, okay. I'll give it a go. Give us some
Just
thought.
Just an idea.
All right.
See you down there. Your booking's for 2 o'clock Wednesday, Christopher.
Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen.
See you soon. Righto. I think I've got time for one more call. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
It's Tex.
Hello, oh, Tex.
Tex, what happened yesterday?
Well, you know, it's sort of a, we were happy, but we were sad because, have you seen the ladder?
Yeah.
He's still on top. Yeah,
still on top.
Yeah.
But we lost, I don't know, you know, well, I wasn't there playing, but
you're all right.
We've gone in, well, with the minor premiers, so.
Yeah. It's a good effort.
Well, I think it is. What do you think?
I know. I think it's a good effort, Tex. Are you going to be all right next Thursday? Only got 10 days to get that toe better.
Oh, yeah, look, I'm all right. I'm right. I've had a scan and it's only a toe and it's just, it's fine. I'll be good.
I've got nine others.
Yeah, but no, we'll go into it as minor premiers and, you know, the boys are behind us and, you know, we've made the trip. They're hard to beat over there. So, you know, I think we'll be right.
All right.
Yeah. You'll be right. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. You know the actor... Edward Woodward.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what his favourite letter of the alphabet is?
What is it?
It's the letter D.
Why?
Well, if he didn't have the letter D in his name, his name would be Iwa Woowa.
Righto. I like that, Tex. All right, we'll see you when you come in tomorrow.
Yeah, see you, boys.
See you, Tex.
Iwa Woowa. Yeah.
Oh, he's an idiot, isn't he? 104.7
Triple M. You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids $1,000 pressure test.
Right on this Monday morning. See how much we can give away, Roo. Let's go for the $1,000.
Let's go to Paralowie. G'day, Jake.
How you going, boys?
Good, buddy. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourselves?
What'd you do? What'd you get up to much?
Nothing much. Had a buy in footy, so he went out to town.
Oh, he had freshened up a little bit, but then went out.
Yeah.
So what, does that mean you're in finals? You got finals next week?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Oh, who do you play for?
Malala.
Oh,
righto.
Good work. Who are they playing next week?
We have two Wells in the A grade and Virginia in the B grade.
Righto.
We knock them off?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, good. The big question... What are you up to today, Jake?
Just on the way to the first job site with the boss to render some walls.
Well done. You're a renderer.
Well done.
Yes.
Plenty of work on at the moment?
Yeah, we're flat out at the moment, actually.
That's good. That's good. All right, Jake, let's see if we can get you $1,000.
No worries.
Right over.
Ready to go?
Bruce got the topic. His ban's been lifted. He's back in the game.
Back in. Could be suspended again shortly, but give me 10 types of knives.
Like
a fishing knife.
A pocket knife.
Fishing. Like a filleting knife, fishing knife. You can say that one.
Giving him three goes.
Paring knife, bread knife, butcher knife, carving knife.
Now he's away.
Utility knife.
Jake, you don't deserve it, mate.
Nah, I was terrible, wasn't I?
Three, four, five, six, correct. I told you six, three correct. Times, a fishing knife, and you didn't even say that one.
Knife, yeah, shit.
Right. Cheese knife,
I reckon you better stick to rendering for a little while, young fella, and then go out there and knock them off on the weekend for Malala.
That sounds good.
Do you go and boys. Frequent the Malala pub a little bit?
Yeah, I don't mind it, actually.
It's a good pub, isn't it?
Dylan's still there,
is he? Awesome pub. Yep.
Yeah, say good day from Ruined Dits.
Righto. Mate, we're going to send you off to the Royal Show, okay? We've got a couple of tickets for you.
No worries, thank you.
Good on you, mate.
Well done, Jake.
And by the way, pre-purchase your tickets, save up to 15% compared to going to the gates and getting your tickets, all right? Ruined Dits here on Triple M, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Triple M. Ruined Dits for breakfast, thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Roo, footy over the weekend. What a finish to an incredible season.
Yep.
Went right down to the wire. It was so exciting watching that game yesterday with the live ladder, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it was. It's been an unbelievable year, and we've been saying that every week, and it just continues to happen. They've broken all-time attendance records, all-time membership records. It's never been closer. After round six last year, the final eight did not change. It's changed 17 times this year since then. It's been so tight and so up for grabs, and what you're talking about with Melbourne and St Kilda thought they were a chance. Bulldogs thought they were still a chance Friday night. Richmond had to win. Essendon had to win yesterday. West Coast wanted to win the play finals. Crows didn't have to do anything. So there's so many.
Port were hoping for top four. I mean, there were so many things, weren't there?
Port were hoping for Richmond to lose to St Kilda. That was a 50-50 chance going into the game, just like the Collingwood-Melbourne game was a 50-50 chance of Collingwood beating Melbourne.
Roo, Crows have finished minor premiers. Great effort, all right? That's a feather in your cap.
It is a good effort.
Should Crows supporters be concerned at all? You go into the finals on the back of two losses.
Listen, I had a lot of phone calls and text messages about people getting all worried about everything before the game. Last week, yesterday. You've got to understand what it's like to be a player in this situation. As a supporter, yes, you want to win and you want to keep winning. And as a player, you want to keep winning as well. But what goes through your mind as a player is if you've got nothing to play for, as in nothing to gain out of the 4 points or the win, other than, you know, form and consistency and those sort of things, a player's going to think about what he's got to do next. And he knows he's going to play finals in a week or two. He doesn't want to get injured. He's probably going to go out there at 95-98%. You just off the ball fraction with your body, just off the ball a little bit with how you want to get hurt. And then you've got the other side. So when you're playing against Sydney needed to win. They were playing for top four. They needed to keep winning to try and get a home final. West Coast yesterday, they needed to win to make the finals. They had no choice. They were playing as if their life depended on it. Adelaide weren't. So there's a big mindset difference. So don't be worried about it at all. I don't think you got anything to worry about in terms of the two losses. I think from today, they would have wiped that from their memory. The Crows right now will be full steam ahead for next Thursday night. It'll be all about preparation for that. They'll be absolutely 100% focused on that game, and it'll mean nothing. So don't worry about those two losses. Hopefully you can judge them by the way they play Thursday week against GWS.
All right, Port Adelaide, 115-point win to finish the season off, which is pretty good. Now, everyone will say the Suns are terrible.
Yep.
I thought Port Adelaide did play pretty well.
Yep, they played all right. They were always going to flog them. They're a basket case at the moment, the Gold Coast Suns. But Port did what they needed to do. They couldn't do any more, and that's what Ken Hinckley said after the game.
We're in pretty good shape. We've played some good strong footy in the last 3 weeks. So I suppose you can't do much more than what we've done tonight, which gives us an opportunity. We've set out from the start of the year to be a part of the finals, and we're clearly going to be a part of the finals, and we're going to play a final here at Adelaide Oval, which is exciting, and for all our people to turn up and rock the house again.
He's playing some young players, isn't he? He's giving them a go. He's trusting them.
He's playing some young players. That's going to be interesting what he does next week at selection with Jackson Trengove, with Marshall, who's showing some really good signs, Dougal Howard, Bonner, Johnson. It's an interesting way to go. But
I'd like to see Jarman Impey back in the side. Now, I don't know if there's room for him. I don't know who goes out, to be honest, because the young boys have done well. But
probably Johnson.
His pace, I think, can be very important in these sorts of games.
Yep, just got to get a bit more of the ball. I'm not sure where Port are at. Well, I'm pretty sure where they're at. I thought in the middle of the year they were a really good side. I think the last third of the year, I think they've been average dits. I think middle of the table. Mm. They still haven't beaten anyone in the finals. The only team they've beaten in the top eight is Sydney, and that was the first game of the year. So, but they're playing against West Coast, who are right on the edge of being a good enough side to play finals. So, where do you think they're at? They'd have to improve to do anything in September, I think.
Who do we play second week?
I think you'll play the loser of Crows and GWS. Mm-hmm. So, that could be in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you'd be comfortable to play GWS in Western Sydney or Crows in Adelaide?
Yep.
And you reckon that's when you can step up and beat a final side?
I think so. It's time.
It's time.
We've been building. Been building towards
if they get beaten in that game by six goals, what will your comment be? They've been about that. That's been where they've been all year.
By West Coast, if we get beaten?
No, if you get beaten by GW. If you beat West Coast and then you get beaten by Adelaide or Western Sydney by six goals.
Realistically.
The first thing you will say is that's about where we've been all year.
I think realistically, we're probably in that bottom four of the top eight.
Mm.
But I'm not saying we can't win any games, though. I think we can.
Absolutely. I think people are a little bit scared of Port.
Yeah.
They may well do it. And if they do, well, then that's what finals footy's all about. The Western Bulldogs did it last year.
Yep.
And that's what can happen. So it's a good position, though, for Port. Mm. Good position for the Crows.
Yeah. Great final series coming up. Can't wait. Ruin Ditz here on Triple M.
We've just got a phone call here. We're going to take a phone, and I think Ditz. Let's go to Mawson Lakes. G'day, Jared.
How you going, mate?
Good, Jared.
I'm just ringing up because I'm a massive Geelong supporter, right?
Yep.
Geelong played a ripper game down against GWS on the weekend. Absolutely smashed it. To get in the top two, to get a home final.
Yep.
And now their home final is going to be played at the MCG against Richmond, which is their home game.
Yeah.
Now, I reckon that's ridiculous. You can fit 110,000 people at the MCG.
Mm-hmm.
But how can that be fair? Because that's Richmond's home game. They finished fourth. And
yeah, we got all that. I agree with you, mate. I think you should be able to play finals there until grand final day, to be honest. Even prelim final, I don't care if it's against Collingwood or Richmond, the big clubs, and you're going to cost 60,000 people going to the game. I think you should have a home final there. I think you deserve it. I think that's your home patch. And I think you're unlucky. What I don't know, Jared, is, and we'll find out today, and the boys this afternoon will get back to you, is if there is a contractual obligation to play a game at the MCG or not. If that's the rule, well, then that's the rule. But I still agree that you should be playing at your home ground, even right up until grand final day.
Yeah. Well done, Jared. Good call.
Because last year, Western Sydney played the Bulldogs at Spotless. When they can only have 20-odd thousand there.
Yeah.
And they said they'd play Sydney there as well, which surprised me instead of going to ANZ or SCG.
Mm. No, good call, though.
Yep.
And it's good that you agree, Roo. No worries. It's Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
Mick Molloy joins Roo and Ditz.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me. I'm Mickey.
Let's head to Melbourne, shall we, and say a very good morning. I didn't get to watch any footy over the weekend. Are Richmond going all right or not?
Come on! Everybody! Here we go, people. Strap yourself in as we ride to the gates of oblivion.
And you fell into a home final somehow. How does that work?
Hang on.
Gee whiz, how lucky are you, bloke?
When you're the powerhouse of the competition, you can't house our phalanx of fans in a 35,000-seater in a small country town more known for its meth labs than its ability to throw on a good game of footy. Come on. This is big time. This is the big stage. This is Friday night. Tiger time to shine.
I smell the AFL just wanting the big club to get bigger.
We've been propping up the interstate teams for so long. It's about time. Melbourne got a little reward. Is there a ripple of fear emanating through the league down there in Adelaide?
Disappointed we weren't playing the Tigers and we got GWS instead.
Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
I can tell you this. We can beat anyone on the G. We will Adelaide, GWS, or the other mob, Sydney, on the G. Bang. Got you in our back garden. The new sheriff in town, Toots. You will
just
be.
This is, you know what you're sounding like when you buy a new racehorse and the whole lead up to the first run before you realise they're no good.
Well, you'd know a bit
you
about
that. You enjoy that. I would know a bit about that.
Mate, where we are playing, I would say this to you. In all seriousness, we are the form team in the competition. We are up and about. No team has more momentum going into the finals than than the Tigers.
No, I must admit, that win over Freo was really impressive.
Yeah. That was frightening.
Yeah. Hey, the press release just came across my desk too from Eddie McGuire. Apparently, there's a big announcement being made in about 10 or 15 minutes.
But he couldn't tell you.
Well, he won't tell me, but he's. I put it to him. He's with me. Hello, Ed. How are you? You there? Hello?
All right, I'm here. Hey! I wasn't. I was just finished reading the papers before I
put him on it.
Head down.
I'm hungover today, guys. I'm hungover.
You got to look after your employer. Yeah. Hey? Come on.
What's happening?
Drop it
in. I don't work in Adelaide, mate.
There's a press conference when? There's a press conference where?
we've got a press conference this morning at 10:30.
We all know he's stoned.
With Nathan Buckley.
We all know he's stoned.
And Jeff Walsh, who's the football director, and he has been doing our reviews.
So how many more years is he signing on?
How many years?
I don't know. You guys can. What would you do, Drew?
Sack him.
Oh, you got to reward him. No,
I have a feeling that's not happening.
You've got to reward him for finishing 13th. Surely.
He
did well. Come on.
Possibly one or two games less than you blokes will play.
Oh. No, I reckon if you're going to keep him, you have to give him two.
No.
Confirm? He's nodding at me, that's two.
Now, I'm not nodding at all. Mick, I'm canvassing.
Mick thinks you've got Paul Roos to be his mentor because we saw that slide through the window, didn't we, Mick?
We saw the sign. Ed, can you confirm or deny Paul Roos will be a mentor?
I'll do all the confirming and denying at 10:30.
Mm. Oh, that's not a no. That is not a no.
That's right.
Certainly not a yes, I can promise you.
Well done on beating Melbourne too, Ed. That was good, wasn't it? Good win, mate.
Yeah. That's been the best part of the whole weekend. Yeah. A game and percentage clear.
And beat them with the under-19s, which is even better. It was great.
I tell you what, they were...
You should have seen it, mate. It was so funny. You know, you turn up and your season's over, and we're filthy at Collingwood about this year, but you turn up and they've all arrived, the Melbourne fans, right? They're the MCC members.
Oh, yeah.
And they come out, you know, it's a grand old thing. They're clapping along.
Go D's.
And, you know, my son nearly fell off the chair at one stage because they yelled out at one stage, go number 26. He actually heard somebody say it. And he looked at me. He said, Dad, I know you always say that. He said, it happened. He said, it happened.
Well, I didn't even know his name.
Do you know what? I felt sorry for them because Melbourne fans, because it was very hard for them to enjoy their cheese platters when they were playing like that.
What did you call them earlier today?
Cheese eating surrender monkeys.
Hey, now, can we just before we run out of time?
The snow is good at ball, though, so there's an upside.
Yeah, I've had a good season.
The big announcement out of Melbourne this morning, Roberta Williams to go into federal politics, taking on Bill Shorten.
Mm. Yeah, I'd back her. She's on my list of hot bogans.
How long's the list?
just her and Chappelle Corby at the moment. Although Chappelle, depends what day. But can turn up looking good when she's not looking, I don't know, mad. I'll tell you why I love Roberta Williams, and this is true. There aren't many people, especially women, who will turn up to court wearing a beanie. And I went, wow, that's hot. That is
hot. You reckon
hot.
She was rocking it too, don't
you? Come on, that style.
Don't you reckon it's interesting, boys, that your grandfather might have been a Cypriot and you're getting wrestled out of the parliament, but you're a bankrupt, more form than Farlap, and owe the taxation department $300,000.
We started off our history, we had convicts run on the joint. We did. We just go on the full circle.
What about the rule that you're allowed to go in politics as long as you haven't spent more than a year in the slammer? that's apparently the rule.
A year and a day, it is, to be exact.
A year and a day.
That's all right.
Well, I qualify at the moment.
That's good.
Next time,
I'm pushing it.
But yours have been collective over the journey. Yeah. One night here, two nights there. Imagine that you're going up for pro and say, look, can you just drop it back just under 365 days? Yeah. I want to become the Prime Minister.
I want to be Prime Minister, that's right. Hey, I'll be
taken to jail in a divvy van with a little flag on the bonnet, like it's a government car.
There's been a few over the journey.
Go Tigers!
Good luck, man. Good luck, Eddie.
Good luck to everyone in Adelaide, the two teams in. It's a wonderful achievement.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Good on you, mate. There you go. Mick Malloy, Eddie McGuire.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now he's got him in the corner. Now he's a sitting duck. The
He is loose on wobbly legs. He's about to go. Floyd Mayweather has McGregor on the run. A sharp left hook, another hook, and it's over. Robert Burns says it's over. Waves it off. McGregor was hurt on wobbly legs. He might be slightly protesting, but Floyd Mayweather, dropping the early rounds, has stopped Conor McGregor.
It took 10 rounds, but he got there eventually. Floyd Mayweather, who, as we know, Roo, is one of the greatest boxers of all time, an unbeaten record, yeah, up against a man who comes from a total different sport. But from all accounts, it was a great contest. Our man on the spot over there in Vegas, Duncan McKenzie McCarr. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning, guys. It's actually afternoon here in Las Vegas. It's about 2 p.m. and the city's just getting used to Floyd Mayweather becoming a 50-0 champion. He surpasses the great Rocky Marciano with a 50-0 record, and he goes into retirement again. So it's an incredible result.
How was the atmosphere over there yesterday?
It was absolutely incredible. We had so many Irish fans flying in for this particular bout. There were thousands and thousands flying in. And the weigh-in was incredible as well. You had about 10,000 Irish fans in the actual stadium of T-Mobile Arena, and it felt like a football crowd. It felt like a World Cup soccer match, and it was just very, very noisy. But I tell you what, when Floyd Mayweather took over the contest in the 9th round and then finished off Conor McGregor in the 10th round, the crowd was silent. Because, I mean, Conor McGregor is an Irishman, but he had 90% of the support in the stadium. It was quite remarkable, considering that Floyd Mayweather is a proud American as well. So it was a historic night. The UFC superstar taking on, you know, arguably one of the greatest pound-for-pound boxers of all time. And Floyd Mayweather, I mean, he's been talking the talk in all this preparation, and he produced the goods. It was quite extraordinary.
Now, you say he had a lot of the support, but is McGregor a bit of a mundane sort of character? Isn't he just annoying, where the public just want him to get pummeled?
Not at all. I think the reason with Conor McGregor is he is a relatable character. So he has come from fighting at the bottom end in UFC, mixed martial arts, and he basically went in there, and he's made an absolute career of himself. This guy is a multi-millionaire, and he started off fighting in cages before UFC and MMA was fashionable. So I think a lot of the public can relate to the fact that, you know, he came from nothing, all of a sudden he's something. He's got a cheeky sense of humor. He cracks gags that are quite funny. So in that regard, he has a lot of support from the common man, the everyman. Floyd Mayweather, on the other hand, he's the absolute opposite. He is not humble at all. He flaunts his wealth. Obviously, he has those domestic violence charges up against him the last couple of years as well. So most of the arena was definitely for Conor McGregor. But unfortunately for him, as you said, he only lasted 9.5 rounds, and the fight was all over.
How did the boxing purists think that McGregor handled himself?
Well, Roo, that's a very, very good question, because the boxing purists actually expected McGregor to get knocked out, or not knocked out, but definitely lose the fight in the first 6 rounds. And he lasted 9.5 rounds, which was quite extraordinary. I mean, I was at Conor's press conference after the fight, and he thought he won the first 3 to 4 rounds.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he tired, because, as you know, he's used to UFC fighting 5 by 5 minute rounds. This was a lot longer. This was a 36 minute duration. And with all those sort of hits and jabs that Mayweather was giving him, I think he just tired him out. So when he got to the 6th round, the Irishman was certainly fatigued. By the 9th round, that was the decisive round. He was basically knocked to the canvas almost. And by the time the 10th round came around, it was a TKO, so it was all over.
What's the noise? Is there going to be a rematch here, or is Floyd happy with the 50 and zip and the extra cash, or will he stump up again for another 100 large?
That's a very, very good question, Roo, because considering the money at stake, I mean, Floyd Mayweather thinks he's going to probably make around $400 million Australian just from this fight.
$400 million? How's he going to make that much?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the pay-per-views, the sponsorships, the gate takings, you know.
You'll have to do another fight then. You can't knock that bat, no matter how much money you got.
Well, the funny thing is, Roo, he's probably worth around $800 million. So he doesn't really need, I mean, how much money do you really need?
I'm pretty sure he'd take another $400 if he could get it and do whatever you want with it. Bloody hell, well, the people will watch it in another 6 or 12 months' time. McGregor can train for it and get a lot better, and That'd be huge again.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what this fight did is it actually exposed that Conor McGregor is not a boxer. I mean, he's an MMA fighter. He, as much as he gets his victory standing up, he's also good at strangling, kicking, choking, elbowing. Mm. That's where Conor McGregor wins his fights. It's not in the boxing ring. He took about 3 months to prepare for this fight. He got a professional referee to teach him the rules of boxing. So I think Conor McGregor just feels, okay, I'm a bit out of my comfort zone here. He's going to focus on MMA. He's got his $100 to $150 million paycheck. He's just going to cash out, Ruth.
Well, Duncan, thanks for sharing it with us, mate. What an event to go to. And well done. Enjoy the rest of your time over there in Vegas.
Absolutely, guys. Just a little one. I haven't been to bed yet. It's been an incredible day.
You tell us now.
I'm amazed that I got through that cross in one piece.
Well, you've done very well. Can't have a lie down.
Well done, Duncan. Well done. Hey,
I don't think you're the only bloke in Vegas who hadn't slept last night.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, things have been happening at my joint. We've bought a new house and we've moved in. It's been a pretty chaotic month or a couple of months selling the other one, and then last couple of weeks we've moved in, and we've had the in-laws move in as well, and to try and give us a bit of a hand with the kids, and
the dog died.
The dog died.
Cat
and
died.
Bloody cat died on Friday.
Bad trot.
It's been full on. So we've been working hard, and you know, a bit of stress around the house and all of that. So we thought, you know, Sunday, let's just have a day off. I said to the father-in-law, you're not allowed to do any work today, not allowed to do any jobs today. It's a day of rest. Mm-hmm. So we cooked pancakes, had a good start to the day, did all that. Kids were wrapped. Thought, oh, the fight's on. We discussed this the other day. There's no way I was getting to leave fast to go to the pub for the day. So I said to Sarah, do you mind if we, let's invite a couple of families over and have a barbecue and watch the fight on, pay $60 to get the McGregor-Mayweather fight on. And get a couple of families around, have a barbecue, have a couple of beers, and it was going to be a nice day. So we ticked all those boxes, did that, cleaned up, got everyone around for about a midday arrival. And we probably had 15 kids running around, with including ours. They were all having a ball, cooked a barbecue for them. They had a sausage and a bit of bread and running around the house, playing chasey, doing all the things that kids do. Gave them an ice cream and a cone. They were all wrapped. Looking after them, and then I started cooking lunch for the adults. We were having a couple of beers. This is about 1:30, and then got everything cooked, ready to eat, and then the fight was about to start. So I said, hang on, let's just pause the fight.
Oh.
We'll pause it, we'll eat, we'll have a good lunch.
Because with Fox now, you can tape these things, can't you?
Well, yeah, you pay $60 for it, but you can pause it, and then you can go and watch it. So we did that, and said, righto, turn your phones off. You're not allowed to look at your phones. Don't check anything.
We don't want any
interruptions, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So then we sit down, we have a nice lunch, a bottle of red, all of that. Have a toilet break, get all set, go and sit in the lounge. So we've got about 20 people in there watching the start of the fight.
My phone must have been off. Yep,
that's all right. You're up in the hills. Mm-hmm. And we get through the first round, or they're scoping each other out. You know, this looks good. They'll probably start, you know, getting into it a bit more. Start of the second, going well, good fight. Everyone is glued to the TV screen. Mm-hmm. We've got it up loud. Felt like we were ringside. And then all of a sudden, zzz, the bloody picture's gone.
Oh.
And we're looking around, and then we've all looked down at the Foxtel box.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, who's 16 months, has gone to the Foxtel box and just hit the on-off button.
Turned it off.
He's turned it off.
Mm.
And everyone's going, no, 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 no. Because when you do that, you lose it.
Right.
And someone said, turn it back on. Oh. So we turned it back on. McGregor's doing his losing speech.
Oh, no.
And everyone's going, oh, no, Tommy. And the swearing, there's bloody crying, and you couldn't really tell him off. Everyone's looking at him, and he doesn't know what the hell he's done. And we've lost the fight.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it was a disaster. No replay on. We've done our $60. We haven't been able to watch the fight. No one could really tell him off. We're just all glued to the bloody TV.
Yeah.
And He's just coming and going dunk.
Yeah.
And
he made a decision. He said, why wait 10 rounds? Let's just get straight to the end.
Yeah, what are you watching?
Let's get the result.
What are you watching this for, Dad? Yeah. So couldn't really tell him. I've taken $60 out of his money box, but everyone just could not believe it. Anyway.
Well done, Tommy.
Little bugger. Yeah. He's just ruined the day for us.
When have your kids ruined
something? I still haven't seen the fight. I don't know. We're talking to bloody Duncan McKenzie McCarg over there in Vegas. I had no idea whether it was a good fight or not.
No. You'll never know. You'll never find out.
You know what? They charge you another $60 to watch the replay.
You're kidding.
That's how ruthless they are at the moment.
Well, you might have to.
Yeah.
You might have to do that,
I'll
Roo.
Give it a miss, I think.
Yeah, Tommy Ricciuto, well played. that gets some attention. You know,
when you're actually watching fight, it takes you about... They remind you about three times to get out of the channel, like, so you don't stuff it up, but you can just hit off on the box there and she's all over.
Yeah. Hey, 133353. When have your kids absolutely stuffed something up like that, something majorly? When have they sent something off the rails? The only thing I can think of with my kids, years ago, I bought two cricket bats, right, at an auction, and because I'm cricket nut.
Sober.
I was sober, and this is overseas. It was a big auction.
Oh, okay.
And these bats cost me a fair bit. And one was signed by all the leading wicket takers in the world. So you're talking Shane Warne, Dennis Lee, all the greatest
Joel
names.
Banner.
All of those.
Hadley.
And the other bat, Hadley. The other bat was signed by all the great run scorers.
Oh,
so they came as a pair. So all the best names in the game. You know, Gavaskar and Tendulkar and all these greats, right?
Yeah.
And I came home one night. Viv was on there. Yeah, Sobers. All of these
Border.
Incredible names. And I come home one night, and Tom and Jack are having a test match in the back with these two bats. And they're ruined. They're absolutely knackered. Cherries all over them now, red marks and everything.
What are you doing, kids? Playing cricket, Dad.
You reckon I didn't go berserk?
No. Did they get a bat on their bum?
They got a bat across the bum. Yeah. 133353. What have your kids stuffed up? What have they absolutely messed up?
Can you tell me? What prize we got?
We have got... I'll come back to you on that, because... We've got four sample tickets. You and three mates off to the sample finals. For tickets, head to sanfl.com.au. What have your kids absolutely destroyed? What have they ruined, sabotaged? 133353.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:51. It's still only 7°13 today. What have your kids absolutely ruined?
Let's
messed up.
Go to Flagstaff Hill. G'day, Anthony.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Yeah, my son, who's playing on the Xbox, mad soccer fan, and he scored this pretty good goal on the game, he reckons. And as he's jumped up to celebrate it, he's throwing the controller through the new 55-inch TV.
Oh,
no.
That's a fair celebration.
That's a couple of grand.
Yeah, he was pretty happy. Not covered under insurance, so it was a win all round.
Well, you couldn't come up with anything to get that in covered.
No, they wouldn't. No, we tried. They said no go. So, don't worry. That came out of the kids' pocket money. Don't worry about that.
Good on you, Anthony, and sorry to hear about your TV. Let's go to Ranella. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you doing?
What have your kids stuffed up?
Look, mate, it's not a technical error, but it damaged my equipment. When my daughter was about five, I was hanging over the bonnet looking at her nephew's car, and all of a sudden my clingy daughter came up, and it was the only time I've ever worn tracksuit pants in my life. And she's bitten that tender bit at the end of your reproductive organ.
What?
Actually drew blood and put me to the ground, and they both thought I was having a seizure or something. Tell you what, that's the last time I ever wore tracksuit pants.
Got to be kidding.
My God, drew blood.
And that story's coming out on the 17th, which is coming up soon.
No.
My God.
I'm feeling the pain.
It got better.
Gee, you would have had to give it a massage.
I just screamed a lot, boys. I think you can imagine.
Bloody hell.
Did you get any sympathy from the wife? Steve?
Yes, sir.
Did you get any sympathy from the wife?
No, they just thought it was hilarious. Everyone wanted to have a look.
It's the last thing you would have felt like doing.
Show and tell.
I brought
my dad in.
I got scars to prove it. Let's go to Elizabeth Downs. G'day, Carol.
Hi, guys. What a fantastic time of year to be in South Australia. And well done to our Crows and Ports team.
Good on you, well Carol. Well done, Carol. That's what I think, too.
Very good.
Well done, Bob. Monday morning, worth getting out of bed.
Good on you, Carol. What else has happened? What are your kids stuffed up? Let's get negative.
Well, back in the day when VCRs came out, I don't know whether, you guys are young enough to remember that.
Yes, we are. But, yep.
Yeah, my sister went into that rental place that you do, paid a fortune for one. We're all sitting around at this wondrous machine that's going to pay this movie at us. My sister's gone, put the tape in, and it's all covered in oil. My nephew had grabbed a litre of cooking oil, he's about 18 months old, and poured an entire litre of cooking oil over the brand new VCR.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and what did it do to stuff up the machine?
Oh, yeah, no, it was not never going to work again. She took it back and they said, did you have this at a fish and chip shop?
good on you, Carol.
That would have cost you a few bucks. Let's go to Two Wells. G'day, Nigel.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
What have your kids made a mess of?
Well, I had a big family barbecue around my place.
Yep.
So it was about 20, 25 of us. Turned my back on the barbecue for like 2 seconds. And then my eldest, who was only about 3 at the time, had decided to season all the meat with a big handful of sandy loam.
Oh, no.
So, needless to say, we had a barbecue of salad.
Yeah. Oh, bloody kids, yeah. Nigel. Let's go to Lights View. G'day, Meg.
Hello, how are you, boys?
Good, thanks, Meg. What have your kids done that you wish they hadn't?
Well, it's a story similar to Dix's. Our son played soccer, and quite a few years ago, the Brazilian soccer team, the youth team, came out to Adelaide, and my husband managed to get a soccer ball signed by all the Brazilian players, many who went on to become world icons in soccer. And we came home one night, and we found Patrick out the front with all his mates kicking a soccer ball in the street.
On the bitumen.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, on the bitumen. Yeah. So we salvaged the ball. We can still see some names, but the damage was done.
Yeah. Where are you from, Meg?
Scotland.
Scotland.
Good on you, Meg.
Good on you, Meg.
Well done. Linton at Roslyn Park. G'day, Linton.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
What are your kids been up to?
Well, when I lived in Pinneroo, my wife ducked home from the tennis to pick up the afternoon tea and left the car idling in park.
Oh, no.
And just in front of the car was the recently installed Western Red Cedar gates. And she came out of the car and she found the gates were about halfway up over the bonnet, and my son had sort of confirmed that he didn't touch the gear lever, but for some reason the car just went full.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. It just moved.
Yeah, so needless to say, the Western Red Cedar gates never looked quite the same. They did swing again, but they weren't quite the same.
What was the old car? What were you driving, Linton?
I think it was a VT at the time, VT Commodore, and it sort of had a few scratches up over the bonnet where it pushed them out the way, but
Oh, well, all fun and games.
Well done.
How'd you like that, Ditz? That was a group one field, actually. A few good stuff-ups there.
Being bitten on the old fella takes a lot of beating.
You can't beat that. Jeez, that would have been tough. All right. 104.7
Triple M. Roberta Williams, Root. Wife of ex-gangland, murdered Carl Williams, has announced she wants to run for politics. In fact, she wants to take on Bill Shorten in his seat.
Not sure how this is going to go, Ditz.
Quite ambitious.
I don't think I'll be putting too many dollars on it being successful, would have thought.
All right, Andrew Rule talks to us from time to time, associate editor of the Herald Sun. He's followed the gangland situation for many, many years. Andrew, good morning. Is she quite serious about this, do you think?
Well, as far as Roberta ever is serious, I think she is. I mean, as she says herself, if you serve less than 1 year in prison, you can run. What better reason to get into politics?
Is that what she said?
Yeah, well, who'd argue with that? I think we should go around and find everybody that's served less than 1 year in politics and say, here you are. Sign the forms.
Is that a rule, is it? Seriously?
It would appear to be. It's magnificent. She's, you must admit, she's got more front than Conor McGregor, hasn't she?
Yeah. Andrew, am I right in saying that only a year or two ago she was declared a bankrupt? And is that going to be a spanner in the works?
I suspect when they go through this with a fine-tooth comb, probably there's going to be a few hurdles for her to jump, bankruptcy and all the rest of it. Roberta's never one to let the fine print get in the way of a good story. And this is another example of exactly that. She's not. I'm sure we'll find that she won't be sure where she stands on various issues once the questions start being asked, because it's a bit more complex than it would appear, isn't it? Really, running for parliament.
Has she got the sort of brains to do it or not? Seriously, what she is she clever at all? She doesn't come across like that. She is the right type to go into politics.
Well, can I say this? I saw her at George Williams' funeral clock another woman, a young blonde woman that Roberta doesn't like, because I think this young blonde woman was very friendly with Carl at some stage.
Question and time she would be gave a bit different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She might. I don't know if she's going to lift the standard of debate, but she's a better puncher than most of them.
She'll put a few bucks in the swear tin.
Oh, yeah, the swear tin will get it work out. Well, she will also make, she'd make Mrs. Hanson look like...
Overqualified.
The Queen. it'd be marvellous. It'd be very funny. But I rather suspect that she'll hit a few hurdles. She's running in the seat of Maribyrnong, which is very safely held by a fellow called Bill Shorten.
Yeah.
Mm. So I can't see her coming along at 1,000 to 1 and tipping Bill out. Unless, of course, something bad happened to Bill.
Who would be putting her up to this? Surely she couldn't think that this is going to be a long, stable career going forward. Is there someone that hangs around her that would be up to this or behind
okay,
it?
You want me? I'm going to make a total guess here, and it's the same. It's just a guess, right? There'll be people mixed up with this party, the Australian People's Party, whoever or whatever they are, and they will be trawling around looking for what they would think of as high-profile candidates that they can sign up. That will create news, and this will be an example of that. I think there'll be somebody in there tugging her coat saying, can we sign you up?
Mm.
Remember, Clive Palmer? Mm. He went around, he got Barry Michael, the ex-fighter, who I know and love, but he found people that had a bit of profile and were good talkers, and he'd sign them up and made a bit of a splash.
Yeah.
And I think it's a low-rent example of that.
Well, I look forward to her press conference, which I hope she's going to conduct and tell us what her policies are. And
could be a bit of mam and anger about
what
it.
She hopes to achieve. Yeah, yeah.
I think you should. Dribble M should send a reporter there and ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
But you know what? Ask the hard questions by all means, but stand about 6 feet away.
Yeah, no, we won't make them too hard.
With a vest.
You got a wicked left hook.
Not too many big words. All right, Andrew. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good on you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Rule, associate editor at the Herald Sun. She can't be fair dinkum, surely.
No, I wouldn't have thought. Don't underestimate her, though. All right. Give her a chance.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.